Welcome to episode 221 of the Family Podcast Network, because it's all about the Benjamins, baby.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom or dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned veteran of a parent, there is always something that we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is May the 22nd, 2013. Our topic for today is, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. Yeah, that's right. We're going to talk a little bit about kids and money and how it is time to start teaching your kid now. Now, some of you guys out there are like, Trey, we just have a newborn. Okay, I'm not saying you start teaching your kids money at the age of, Mom, I just want some breast milk. It's not what I'm suggesting here. However, we often wait till way too late to talk to our kids about money, number one. And number two, we often have very poor understandings, expectations, and things that we teach our kids about money. We're going to talk a little bit about both of those today and how we can not only get started teaching our kids and what we want them to know about money, but we can also begin to restructure ourselves in the way that I recommend personally, as a guy who has completely started to revolutionize his mentality and ideologies on money and has started to see good success from it, guys. Before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about our housekeeping for today. If you guys want to get notified of new episodes that are coming out, we have a simple, sweet dizzles way that you can do that. If you go to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, over on the right-hand side, you guys will see that there is a little spot over there that says episode updates. If you put your name and you put your email in on that, you will make sure that you get updated on every single episode. Why do we do that? We do that as a convenience to you guys, to make sure that when we got three of these topics that we're hammering out per week, Sometimes, if you're not careful, we can slip an episode past and you don't watch it. And I have had people that have written in and told me, Trey, man, if I just would have known about this episode last week, then this wouldn't have been a problem. My response is, oh, man, you could have. You could have entered your name and email address in. Then you will make sure that every morning, whenever we have a new show kicked out, you will be one of the first people that gets an email saying, hey, there's a new episode out. You got to go check it out. Here's what we talked about. It gives you the opportunity to go check that out. Don't forget, guys, just because you're not at a computer does not mean that you cannot listen to the Family Podcast Network. The Family Podcast Network is listed in iTunes, and you can go search thefamilypodcastnetwork.com and go find that little bad boy in there. You say, well, Trey, how do I get there? If you go to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, scroll down to the very bottom, you'll see where it says listen to FPN on your device on the right side. If you click that the iTunes button, the very, very top one that's listed there, it will take you to my iTunes account that's listed online on the web. You can see what's on there, what are the latest episodes, and even some of the reviews that we've had over there. You can check those out, see what other people are saying about it. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm like on an fest today. I'm a little bit distracted today, and so we'll move into this in just a little bit. But you can go over there, check that out in iTunes. Also, the other place that you can do this is through what's called Stitcher, Stitcher.com. Stitcher is wonderful, and it is an app that you can get on your iPhone or your Android device, and then it basically allows you to pull in podcasts from anything that you want to list and put it into one place. It is what I listen to all of my podcasts to. I listen to a total of about 13 podcasts per week, and I check them all out to get information and ideas on everything that I can. And if you get Stitcher, guys, I highly recommend it. It is a wonderful addition to what you're going to be doing. It is fantastic. It takes very good care of you. You can also, as you're signing into it and downloading, you can also put as a promo code Family Podcast on there, and it just lets them know that you got them from me, and it hooks us up with a little bit of a referral fee for that. So, guys, consider doing that as well. No big deal if you don't want to mess with it. We certainly get it. But you can look at those either ways. Guys, you can also jump on over to iTunes. One of the things you can do for me that is very valuable, run over to the iTunes on the Family Podcast Network and click on that little doohickety-mcdoodah and check on that little sucker to leave some review for us. Every little review that you guys do, that you guys throw in there with some star ratings, bumps me up. Even if you think I'm crap, guys, it's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Go ahead and throw that in there as well. We like those things, so jump on over there and do that for us in iTunes. Guys, also don't forget to like us on Facebook. Share these episodes out. If you run over to Facebook, or excuse me, if you run over to our site, thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, up in the very, very top right, you'll see where it says RSS, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. Those are all the accounts. If you have one of those and you want to connect with us, you can get touch base with us that way. But if you connect on that little Facebook doodad, that's where a lot of the fun mixed fun happens with Family Podcast Network. Is over there on that main site. We put some of the ideas, thoughts. Lately, one of our conversations that we've gotten into is, excuse me, guys, I'm also drinking and sipping coffee late at night. It's what I do, baby. But if you go over there, lately our conversation has been over the Disney character, Merida, if you guys have seen the movie Brave. Brave was one of the first Disney commercials that has come out with a leading actress role that has not fundamentally disappointed me. Now, I don't mind Disney stuff in the past. I don't have a problem with it. I've loved Aladdin. Was one of my favorite personal Disney flicks of all time. Hilarious as all get out. However, all of the women in most Disney commercials, I mean, Disney movies, are very same, very much the same. And they're often weak. They often depend on a man to come rescue them. They often are very sultry and sensualized and sexualized, which, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with pretty people and all that kind of stuff. I'm married. I love sexualized, all that other good jazz. I mean, it's a wonderful place in the right constraints, depending on what your belief systems are. However, I'm not real fond of how they portray women. So, when Merida came out within the show Brave, I was very fond of her character. She wasn't your prototypical. She didn't have your prototypical curviness. She didn't have your prototypical, you know, beautiful face with just, you know, teardrop eyes and long flowing golden hair and all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with those things in the other Disney characters. But to me, Merida marked the first epitome of a real live person who was independent, who had a streak, who didn't need some dude to come rescue her, which, I mean, that's okay. We need to take care of each other. Sometimes I have to come rescue my wife. Sometimes my wife has to come rescue me, metaphorically speaking, I should say. But this mentality that that's the way it is that it's always the damsel in distress instead of a woman who could knock an arrow and shoot it herself. That's one of the reasons why I'm so drawn to the Hunger Games series. I like the mentality of Katniss Everdeen and her character. I like that. I think that's good. But the flip to this is that Disney has released they've added Merida to their line of Disney princesses line. And you know what they did to her? They added curves. They added sensuality. They took away her bow and arrow. They gave her a sash. They gave her sultry bedroom eyes. And they've thrown her out there. Now they're marketing through Target their new line of Merida doll that looks like a standard Disney princess girl now. She does not look like Merida. Now, some of you guys may be like, Trey, who gives a flip? They're just going to try to make some sales. I agree with that. I really do. But to me, in my opinion, they lost the embodiment of who Merida was supposed to be. And for me, it was the very first time that Disney tipped their hat and says, okay, not all women have to look like Belle from Beauty and the Beast. And I liked that. I liked the mentality of a lady, a girl, a little girl who could handle herself and she could do things herself and that she was self-confident and she believed in herself. I loved that. Now, I know people can argue, and we're not going to turn this into a discussion today about that. Maybe we need to do a podcast over this. Apparently, I have a lot to say about it. But to regardless, to irregardless, yeah, let's throw that not word in there, irregardless of any of that, I wasn't very fond of it, and we had a great conversation about it over the Family Podcast Network Facebook, and you know what? The next conversation that comes up, I want to know what you think. Guys, I just threw a picture up here tonight. It's Monday night. I just threw a picture up over the new Merida they're going to be releasing in the Target stores and how just she looks like all the other ones now. Jump on over there. I want to hear your thoughts. I'm not being joke. I'm not just trying to say this. I really want to hear your thoughts. What do you think about this? Am I overreacting? Am I throwing a hissy fit about this? Or is there something really that we're connecting to here that they're ruining? Let's hear from you. So guys, don't forget, that's over on Facebook. Come and do this. Don't also, in terms of the Facebook thing, if you'll notice that it says, like, on this, it'll say it's all about the Benjamins, baby. And then right below that on the website, thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, you'll see the playing bar right above the bar where you hit play. you'll see that there is a little Facebook logo. If you click on that little Facebook logo, it'll pop up a little box that says, how do you want to share this bad boy? If you will do that for me, it'll say, like, share on your timeline or whatever. If you guys will, bring that up. Share a little something that you think about that in there, and just type up a little thoughts. You know, Trey was awesome in this. Trey's full of crap. I hate this stuff, blah, 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 whatever. And then share that out over on the website. We really appreciate that. That is a major crucial piece about helping some of the information over the Family Podcast Network go viral, so consider doing that for us. Guys, also, you want to read some good read? You need to head over to our blog, because let me tell you, that's where it'll be going on. My wife has started writing the blog for us over at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blizzog. Just blog, not blizzog. Don't write blizzog, just blog. But my wife has started writing that. Let me tell you, whatever gifts that I have at the auditory where it is speaking like this into a microphone, my wife has in speaking into a keyboard. She has a knack for being funny, educational, interesting, leaving you on the edge of your seat. I read all of her stuff twice, even though we talk about everything before she writes it. I read it twice because it's that good that will leave you going, holy crap. She is our frontline lady. She is the one that everything that you hear us talk about here, she's the one who practices this most throughout the day. And let me tell you, you got to go check her stuff out. She's good. She's insightful. She's ridiculously funny and leaves you going, at the end of every single flipping one of those, because that is how well that yo writes. So go check that out, thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, and check out the blog. You can click on blog at the very top browser right between about and a contact us. Go click on that. Go check us out. And she's really good. Next off, guys, if you want to support the show, 30 cents. Three dimes. If you feel like you're getting three dimes out of every single one of these episodes, guys, I've made a decision that these need to be free. I don't do that because I don't think they're valuable. Let me tell you, sometimes I wish I could charge for this because the amount of time that I spend, it's 11:35 p.m. on Monday night right now. I'm recording for Wednesday night show. I wish that I could charge for these, but I feel it deep down. I mean, deep in my nuggets, man. I'm talking deep down in that innermost part of my heart that tells me what is right and what is wrong, that I have learned to trust emphatically. Everything tells me you don't charge for this stuff. And I do that very strategically and very purposefully. The reason that I do that is because I want everybody having access to this. Because I believe that there are so many good moms and dads out there that are ready to connect with other families, that when you do, when you connect with the Family Podcast Network, you cannot help but look at this and go, man, I want to support him. I want him to keep doing what he's doing. I want him to branch out past just who we're reaching here in this household. I want him reaching another family and another family and another family and another family, so that this is changes that we're not just making within our family, but generations on my line and generations in others. But guys, this does take money, and so I always ask, if you get an opportunity to come and support us, we do not ask for your money and not give you anything back. Let me tell you, oh my gosh, I am tripping out because I just checked out today. My webmaster has been working on building me a new page for you members, and I think it's about done. And I went and pulled it up. If you guys are a member, you can jump on here, and if you log in to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, if you log in and you'll click on the, you'll see on the very far side right next to the FPN Gear Shop where it says log in. You can click on that, log in. Once you do, you can go to resources and then click on member area. This is just those of you who have become paying members. That means you've become a PTACer on the website. You will now have access to that page, and you can go take a look at that. Number one thing you'll notice, you now have the paid member topic suggestion line, which means that you can enter your name, your email, phone number for me, and a topic. And if you'll throw in a suggestion in there, you'll make sure that you get direct access to me, that it'll show up as PTACer. And when it hits that email account for mine for PTACer, that means that I go straight to your email over everyone else's. You get first dibsies to me to go check that out. Guys, also, we are in the middle of putting in our FPN archives. Oh my gosh, she designed this so stinking beautifully. But we're going to have the opportunity over the right-hand side. You'll see right below where it says the second button that says download. It'll show episodes. I'm actually going to go in there and then tailor those. So you'll see 1 through 24, 20 through 49, 50 through, and it'll go in 24 episode chunks. We're doing that because I've had multiple people say, Trey, I want to listen to everything from the start of number one. You guys that are members are going to get access to, I think, three episodes that nobody else has access to. I've removed those three episodes from off the website for reasons that only you who are FPN members will be privy to. I'm not doing that because it's a big super secret. I'm doing that because you guys are FPN members. You guys are going to get special treatment now because you're supporting the show. But anyway, I did remove episodes 1 through 3, I think, at the very, very start when I was doing this. And you will actually have access to those episodes 1 through 3. And you'll be able to hear the inception of, or conception, excuse me, conception of Family Podcast Network, where it began. And it goes back as far when I was recording on my iPhone, on iPro Recorder, straight onto that bad boy. Sound quality is poor, but you'll get to see where the heart came from and where we started and where we've moved until 221 episodes later. I mean, seriously, how flipping cool is that? So anyway, we'll jump over there. You'll be able to download those and then unzip them. We're going to have to zip them because they're huge, guys, and I've got a lot of time in them. So we're going to have to zip them. We're going to have to do them in about 24 at a time. Then you can unzip them, sync them to your iPhone, and then get all the episodes. And you can start from episode 1 and just get after it, man. Get after it. Man, I start listening to those. So we've got those, guys. Also, there's a benefit page for you new members. I've already gotten our first person who's gotten on here. Alice Garrick is a lady who does music for kids. And let me tell you, she does a fantastic job. I played it for my kids, and they loved her stuff. So we've got a copy of her album. She has already offered at a discount to you guys. It is only going to be made to you FPNer, to P-Tackers. And then also she is going to be doing some free giveaways with us here as well. And I'm so excited about this. Let me tell you, her music is fantastic. She has not been feeling well the last few days. And so we've been working real slow and helping her getting recovered and recouped back before we're going to start knocking this out there. So guys, be aware of that. Be conscientious of that. You guys that are PTAC members, you're going to have to come check that out and come check out our members area. Again, that will be thehumanpodcastnetwork.com/member-area, or you can click on the resources and click on member area to come see what you've got access to now. It's off the faux shizzles. All righty. Last, guys, if you have any questions, comments, topics that you want to hear from us, thoughts that you have for us, or maybe just some encouragement you want to throw out to us. I love it. I'm going to be honest. It fuels me. It keeps me going. Sometimes these late nights, it's the one thing that gets me going that just gets me all sorts of fired up and ready to go. So throw out some encouragement to us. We can do that. But also, what do you got a question? Trey, I want to hear a topic on this. What about that? We actually had somebody who requested some questions on firearm safety and firearm storage safety, especially with having kids around. We've got a pretty big firearms group here of folks that shooters like me as well, operators that like weapons and firearms and stuff like that. And we've had a request for that. I never would have even thought about that. Great recommendation. And yes, we will be doing that. We're going to see if we can chunk that sucker up there and get one of those podcasts out there. But that great topic suggestion. What else do you guys have? I want them. Y'all send them my way. We'll see about putting a show together to talk about what's over on your mind and those kinds of things. Or if you just have a question for me, you just want to say, Trey, I got a real specific question about my kid doing X or about me being this way. What do you think? And I don't mind if you chunk this up on the show because other people might need to hear this question as well. There's lots of ways you can do that with us, guys. You can always email us at TreyGibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You guys can also leave us an internet voicemail. If you'll notice over on the right-hand side of the page where it says, Ask Trey a Question, you can go over there, guys. Click on that bad one. As long as you have a microphone connected to your computer, you can leave a voicemail through that, just like you would if it was a phone. Leave your voicemail, chunk that over to us, and we'll see about getting that up there on the show, guys. You can also call us, 661-PARENT-0. That's right if you're out and about, driving around, and you've got your phone with you, and you're like, Dad, gummit, I want to ask Trey a question, but I'm not at my computer right now. Hey, no sweat. Maybe you're listening to that episode on Stitcher. And you're like, Trey, crap, I want to ask you a question. No problem. All you got to do is call 661-PARENT and the number 0. Again, that is 661-PARENT and the number 0. Long-distance calls do apply for you always. But that does not go directly to my phone. Actually, it does ring into my phone, but I don't answer those because I want them recorded as a voicemail so we can chunk them on the show. You will go to my voicemail through Google Voicemail, and you will leave me a little message. We'll see about chunking it up on the show. And then last, guys, you can always touch base with us over at Facebook. Their instant message. A lot of people like to do that. And my wife and I both are pretty active on Family Podcast Network Facebook page. So you're going to get a response fast within the day in almost all cases, except for those days where things are just exceptionally busy. So anyway, with all of that wrapped up today for basic housekeeping, just want to check in with you guys. Let y'all know where we're at. Let me tell you, things this last couple weeks have been tough. So if you've noticed me off my game the last 2 weeks, or something just seems a little bit funny, you're kind of right. Things have been kind of difficult in Costa de Gibson lately. And first off, I want you to hear me say things that were rough, that were turbulent, but have just been, you know how things sometimes, if you just let them ride out, they kind of make you stronger. I mean, don't forgive the cliche here, but you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's kind of that mentality. We've kind of had that going on in Costa de Gibson the last few weeks, and it has been painfully wonderful. And anyway, we've just gotten ourselves into a position where things are really good. I do want to announce, so those of you guys who are shooters out there, I am now an officially certified NRA pistol instructor, and I'm so excited about that. Anyway, I wanted to let you shooters know about that. It was so much fun. Did some shooting this weekend. It was fantastic. And anyway, we've got some pretty excited additions coming on to FPN that I'm real excited about, especially between Alice and the new member page. You guys are going to have to come check that out. I'm telling you, it is just based in my world and how cool this sucker has been. I do want to send out a quick message. I know we had several folks from the Oklahoma area, particularly in the cities that got hit with the tornadoes today. I want you guys to hear me say that if you're listening, maybe weeks after, FPN heart goes out with you, prayers go out with you. I mean that not just figuratively. Everybody says, oh, we're going to pray for you. I mean, literally, you will receive prayers because the way I see it, you're the Family Podcast Network. You're a piece of my family, and my heart hurts for you. So let us know what we can do. Not if we can do anything, what we can do, and I mean that. To any of you guys who are listeners of Family Podcast Network who are going through that, I've kind of anticipated this in advance. I have an episode that it is very likely that you need to check out. I will include a link to this in the show notes today. It is very worth it. And it's called, it's titled Episode 170, Lessons from Sandy, Kids and Disasters. We go a little bit through what to do with our kids if they've been directly affected by disasters like the tornadoes in Oklahoma this week. What those of us, even those, you say, well, Trey, my kid didn't go through that. Yeah, but we need to know this stuff as well. Even kids that aren't affected by the tornadoes this week need to listen to this. There's seven things in it that I highly recommend because your kids will likely need them if you are dealing with a natural disaster, and the six survival needs that a person needs to address and be ready with. Guys, I highly recommend that you go read this. It involves everything from like just as simple as letting your kids know that they're going to be okay, and then all the way to like establishing a routine if you're in a new place like a hotel or friends and families, how vital these are to kids, and how I highly recommend that you guys go pull this up. Go listen to this episode. It's one of the best, I think, that we've got at Family Podcast Network. Go check it out, and it's highly worth it, especially if you've got somebody. Secondarily, if any of you guys know somebody who's going through this today, I'm serious. Go have them come listen to this. Save this podcast. Again, it's thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/kidsanddisasters. Kids and Disasters. And we'll also have a show link at the very bottom down here today. Refer this out. This is about helping healing broken places, broken hearts, lost things that were important. And there's an easier way we can get through that than just hacking at it by ourselves. Go share this out for us, guys. We really appreciate it. All righty, guys. Let's see. I think with all of that out of the way, we may actually be ready to jump into our show today, which again is called It's All About the Benjamins, Baby. That's right. We're going to talk a little bit about kids and money and how it is time to start teaching them now. However, I don't think that there is a better way to start out today's show than this right here.
What y'all wanna do? Wanna be ballers, shot callers, brawlers? We'll be dipping in the Benz with the spoilers. On the low from the Jake and the Taurus. 5+5s, who drive millennials? It's all about the Benjamins. What?
Play your haters, get away. On my lead will spray. Squeeze off till I'm empty. Don't tempt me. Only to hell I send thee. All about the Benzies.
So, some of you guys either think that's hilarious and you just had a flashback to the past, or some of you other ones are, you know, you absolutely hate my guts at this point. First off, I want to make sure I'm really clear. I'm not saying that I endorse the lifestyle of any of what they just said. That's not the point here when it comes to talking about all of this. But that's just the iconic song. It's all about the Benjamins, baby. But, you know, I think they bring some level of uniqueness to talking about this in that the way they approach this. They talk heavily about the ideologies of having money, and in some cases they have triple digits and whatnot. So I'm not saying that you need to teach your kids to be rappers or anything like that to get to that. But I think they bring up a good point of talking about money today. And so we tend as parents to wait until much, much later in our kids' lives to be talking to them about money. I mean, really, if you look at the traditional trend, we often don't start talking to them about a minimum of 13 years or older. When it comes to money. And let's be honest, some of us don't even teach them anything at all. You know, they get their, maybe they get the class at school or something like that that teaches them a little bit about money. And a lot of times we just kind of treat that as, oh, that's good. They got that, you know, they got that set up through there. And we kind of let them go. And so, I'll explain to you guys where this comes from, like with me. You know, there's a specific story we're going to talk about in the Casa de Gibson where you see a lot of this kind of originating from. But first off, I want to talk a little bit about what was my background in finance. And I probably turned about 12 or 13 years old, and my parents had just kind of made their minds up that I needed a bank account, which I don't think was a bad idea. I think it was actually a wonderful idea. And however, they gave me no education on money. They got me an account. I had a good deal of money that I had saved up. I was saving up for a dirt bike as a kid. And they're like, you know, let's put this into a bank. So they took me to the bank. We opened up a checking account. I put my money in. They explained to me how a check works and how to write one. And that was it right there. I mean, that was the extent of my education. But there was no fundamental understanding of what is money about. What does it do? How do you make it work for you? They didn't teach me anything about reconciling credit card statements or, you know, bank statements or any of that kind of stuff. And it just kind of stuck me out there. And eventually, as it happened, of course, the natural experience of having a check account is you what? You become overdrawn once, right? Well, what happened was that I thought that if you did that, that was like the worst thing that you could do. I grew up in a household to where if you got in trouble, things were bad. I mean, things were badly bad. So I felt like I'd gotten in trouble, so things must be bad. And I'll be honest, I freaked out and I never used my checking account again. As a matter of fact, I might have to call up there and see if I have any money in it, now that we thought about it. Because I haven't checked that account in so flipping long. I might have money, but... anyway, but that really scarred me, if you will. And so many of us, and outside of just like fears of using money or having money or messing up with money or any of that other kind of stuff, we run into an issue to where there is so many that have learned to think, or maybe I should say that they've never learned to think any other way but poor. And I think we wait way too long to teach this to our children. And when we do wait too long, we teach them poorly. And when we teach them poorly, we continue the pattern that we've set up sometimes through our great-grandparents to our grandparents, our grandparents to our parents to us. And now we're passing the same mentality along to our children. So I've never made it any secret here at the Family Podcast Network that I'm a firm believer in good business etiquette. I believe in profit, and I believe in using profit. I believe that this is a constitutional republic that was built around the economic mentalities of consumerism. I believe that consumerism is capitalism. We built this around capitalism. I believe that capitalism is a good thing. I believe that capitalism can only work and thrive in a completely free market, and that if you open up a completely free market and allow people to do what they want to do, then people will either step up and make it work right, or if there's people that are acting like jerks, that we will self-police ourselves and work problems and issues out on our own through capitalism. We set the market, we set the demand, we set the supply, and we make our own set. We do not need a government to step into that. Of course, a lot of that just kind of fits to my political belief systems already. I mean, you guys know how that goes. But I believe in capitalism. I believe in making money. I believe that a good business is not a good business until it's making money and is profitable. Well, Trey, I run a nonprofit. That's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with nonprofits. Multiple people have suggested that I take Family Podcast Network as a nonprofit. I won't do it because I believe that the trademark of good, hard, smart work is profit. So I believe in running a good business. Well, Trey, you know, but what about giving back? First off, I hate that mentality. Because anytime somebody says, I'm going to give back to people, that implies that you stole something from them. In good business, there is an exchange of service. You offer a product like something that you make. My wife likes to make bows, and she sells bows, like nice, cute bows for little babies. She exchanges that product and that time and that level of customability for money. Becoming a P-tacker, you trade your money for the services that I provide to both, not only as the Family Podcast Network podcast, the actual radio show part of this, but also you get special things that are incentivized to you as a PTACker only through our member area. You see, we exchange those things out. And that is what makes a good market. It's kind of the rising tide raises all ships mentality. So we believe in capitalism and making money and the profitability of that. We want our kids to be profitable. I mean, we almost always like to gauge how successful our kids are far by how much money they make or how cool their title sounds like they make. One of the reasons why my wife calls herself a domestic engineer more than she calls herself a stay-at-home mom. And she calls herself both, by the way. She's not like ashamed of that title. But I want to be very clear today. Though we're talking about profiting, we're not talking about profiteering. Go look it up if you wonder if there's a difference. When we talk about profit, we're not talking about consumerism. You're not sure what that means. I don't have time to delve into it today because I had a very long intro segment today. But go look it up, consumerism. What we're talking about today is not about money making someone happy. Money is one of those things defined, at least classically, here at the Family Podcast Network, as one thing that is very benign. It is a neutral thing. It does not come either evil or positive. I know some of my Christian brethren out there say, but Trey, it says that money is the root of all evils. No, guys, go look it up. Go look it up yourself. It does not say that. It says that the love of money, and in reality, if you want to get very specific, it actually says the love of mammon. It's not talking about just a currency. It's talking about riches in and of themselves, things. I call it the consumerism mindset. When we get to that point to where we consume and consume and consume and we don't ever return to the pot. And when we fall for that mentality, it destroys us and tears it up. The money is not evil. The love of it is. It gives it a power that it never had before. And let me tell you, I have witnessed firsthand how destructive it can be. Now, before I come off as, again, I got to balance this out so careful. You got to be so careful with this. Before I come out and saying that people that have money are evil, that is a load of crap. It is not that. I have met some of the most wonderful people in my life, and they were loaded. Sorry, his stand-up comedy is so funny. But they were wonderful, kind-hearted people, and their heart was in the right place, and they were doing the right thing. I was talking with somebody about that. We've got a friend, and we went to church with her, and I actually pastored at the church for a while, and she was just your average college girl, you know, going, getting her college degree, and we graduated, she graduated, and she's now selling, I think, those wraps that help you lose weight in the wrap, and she's flying first class all over the place, and we were talking with her a while back, and we were asking her, I mean, how are people responding to you now that you are making money? And she said, so many people look at me as though, well, if I'm rich, if I'm riding first class, then you can't be a Christian and do these things. You can't be a Christian and have this. You can't be a Christian and have these types of things. And she always says, I always look them in the face and say, yeah, you know what? Tell that to the person that I sponsor from Africa. And she means it. She really does. She sponsors a kid from Africa through a mission place that she's done some research on and really respects. And so anybody ever tries to tell her that having money is dangerous or that it's bad for you, she always quotes that, you know what, tell that to the person that I sponsor, the little girl that I sponsor in Africa. And I love that response. Money can be a wonderful thing when it's used correctly. There's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having consumeristic things. But you see, there's something that we've got to talk about, not only with ourselves, but also with our kiddos. You see, I acknowledged years ago that I had a very poor ideology of money in and of itself. And I reached a point where I looked at it and said, I've got to relearn what I'm doing here. I mean, I'm going to have to do it myself. I mean, I was in a destructive pattern, if you will. We were not going anywhere. We were struggling to make it by, and we were destroying ourselves. And we felt poor, and yet we had money. I mean, a significant amount of money. Guys, I've been to Africa. And I've seen how they live there in some of the countries, especially like in Tanzania. And it's not bueno, guys. The mentality that we have of poor here is incredibly skewed. But we have this mentality that we're poor here. And there's some good reasons why. About a year ago, I discovered several books that I began to read. Some of them were from kind of the popular Dave Ramsey stuff. Good stuff. You never read that guy. You got to go read him out. His leadership stuff is unprecedented and good. His stuff on finances is unprecedented and amazing. And I highly recommend you go check his out. But there was one of my books that was my favorites. It was called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it was absolutely fantastic. I'm going to make sure to put a link in the show notes. And this book revolutionized how I saw money. I mean, it absolutely redid it. So, again, I'll have a link to it in the show notes. If you click on that, it'll jump you over there to Amazon. You can pick up a copy. Guys, I'm highly recommending you read this book. It's titled Rich Dad, Poor Dad, What the Rich Teach Their Kids About Money and What the Poor and Middle Class Do Not. I grew up in a solid middle class family. My wife grew up in a solid lower class family, poor family. And we both agree with the tenets of this book. It is not a let me teach you how to get rich fast book. Let's understand that it is not going to give you 10 ways to make money tomorrow. It's about saying, listen, a lot of the reasons why we don't make money is because we have some crap thinking, some erroneous thinking that we've come across over of our lives. And one of the real ways we got to get past it is change that thinking. And guys, I'm telling you, this stuff is fantastic. Go buy that book. I'm telling you, if you don't enjoy it, I will be blown away. And come touch base with me, and maybe I'll pay you back for the book because it's that good, guys. Go check it out. But with all of that said, this is one of my personal favorites. And let me tell you why this particular one is my personal favorites. There's one concept in there that has revolutionized everything that I think about finances. And it goes like this. This author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad talks about two different things. One of them is called assets versus liabilities. Now, I'm about to promise you something. If you haven't read this book, I am going to wind up making you really frustrated with me here in just a minute. Because many people struggle with this. I struggled with it when I first read it. My wife struggled with it when we first talked about it. And now here we are. And I'm almost going to guarantee you that it's going to cause you pause. But listen to me and hear me out when we talk about that. You see, one of the things that we struggle with is, a lot of us struggle with is this mentality of what is an asset and what is a liability. So I'm going to define it simply as this. An asset is anything that puts money back in your pocket. Okay? So no matter what you've got, it makes you money, and it needs to make you more money than it takes for it to be used. So, for instance, if you buy a particular item and it makes money for you, it has to make more money to use it than it does for it to be paid on or to be maintained, right? So a liability is anything that takes money out of your pocket. So an asset brings money into your pocket. Liability causes it to go out of your pocket. Now, do we understand what we're talking about there? Why is this such a difficult thing for people? Because by this definition, a car is a liability. And see, people don't like that because people see the word liability as like a negative thing. A liability is a bad thing. Most people don't actually know what the definition of what a liability is. But when you tell them a car is a liability, they often go over the edge. Why is a car a liability, Trey? Well, based off of the definitions we just talked about, it is something that takes money from us. Am I telling you don't go buy a car? No. Am I telling you that having a car is bad? No, not at all. It probably gets you to a job. But a house is also a liability. Well, yeah, but Trey, I mean, I've got a house, but I've got it paid off. Well, okay, yeah, that's good. First off, fantastic for you and good work. However, do you spend money on insurance? Do you spend money on energy bills? Do you spend money on maintenance and fixing it up or replacing pieces to it, right? It is a liability. Now, don't get me wrong. If you take that house and you rent it out to somebody and you use that money and it creates for you more profit than maybe you're spending on the note for it or whatever else, yes, you have turned it into an asset. But things like houses, things like cars, things like iPhones, all of these types of things are liabilities. There's nothing wrong with them. But why is this such a problem? Because you see, poor and middle class families have moved themselves into a position where they're very big about finding liabilities, whether it's the new iPhone and the data packets they need to run the iPhone, whether it's groceries, whatever it is. They've increased their liabilities without increasing their assets. They increase the amount of things that take money, but they are not increasing the things that bring them money. Any of this sound familiar? We have voted in a government that has increased its liabilities without increasing its assets. I just read about a country the other day that recently bought out a very popular ammunition manufacturer and PBRI for any of you shooters out there. And I shoot a lot of PBRI, and I have a ton of it. It's dirty, 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 dirty ammunition, which means for those of you who aren't shooters, that when you shoot it, it leaves a lot of gunk behind, typically carbon deposits, etc., from the burning of the powder and the discharge and whatnot inside your barrel and inside your gun, and you got to clean it up real regularly. When it's a particularly dirty ammo, but PBRI is very shoot straight, it's very straight shooter, and I love using it for plinking and whatnot. It's great stuff. But they recently bought a country actually bought out one of the manufacturers that uses that PBRI casings, and they actually manufacture ammo, and the government itself sells the ammunition, and they completely run their entire country off their ammunition sales. Brilliant. That is a government that is increasing its asset column to help pay for its liabilities. But you see, we live in a government that is increasing its liabilities, whether it be benefits or whatnot. Guys, I want you to hear me say, I'm about to dog on things like Medicaid and food stamps and whatnot. Guys, I've been on both. My wife and I have been on both before we pushed for our liberty and got off. So before you guys feel like I'm dogging or I'm one of those right-wingers that just wants to come in here and tear that up, guys, I have been on it and I understand. But we like to increase those liabilities, those things that take money and don't provide anything back, and yet we do not want to increase our asset columns. So, slight little lesson here in U.S. government economics here. What do we have to do if we want to keep paying for these things? Create fake money by printing it out through the federal government or increasing our schmexes. You guys got it. There's more to it than that. I understand it's a little more complex than that. I'm definitely boiling it down here. But I mean, to me, this is so fundamental that it's axiomatic. It's an axiom. You cannot question this stuff. If you increase your liabilities, but you do not increase your assets, of course you're going to be poor. Of course you're going to be poor. Because every dime to the penny of your money is committed somewhere before you've even gotten it. So we developed a mentality in our family that instead of taking every spare dime that we have and buying more liabilities for us, firearms, cars, iPhones, etc., that's a Gibson family list there, we started investing it into things like assets. You see, guys, I'm new and I'm fresh at this. I've grown up with generations after generations of folks that have done it this way. And in a lot of ways, at least between my mom and dad's generation to mine, I'm breaking a very long-standing problem. But one of the things that I've started doing is buying up iPads for cheap, moving into laptops for cheap, and then fixing them up and reselling them. So then I use a little bit of that money to buy into my next set. You see what I'm saying? I'm moving into assets. And once again, I'm going to make sure that I'm extremely clear here. I have by no means even gotten close to arriving at this. But it is so vitally important that we teach these things to our kids. One of the Gibson family requirements in our family is that each one of our kids is required to run a small business. Don't get me wrong, they're not doing it yet, guys. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like that feeling of making your first dollar on your self-built business. I'm speaking from experience. Oh, man. I have tasted the nectar, and the nectar is sweet. But we want our kids to get a taste of this early. We want to let them build a business and make mistakes and failures, all while they're under kind of the tax/financial shelter of us as parents. We want our kids to go through this. But we want to let our kids make money. You want to talk about a powerful, unbreakable combination. Take this show today and combine it with Monday's show, which was on hard workers. Combine that podcast with this podcast with this podcast. Let me tell you something, guys. You are going to be making unstoppable kiddos. But you can absolutely teach your youngins money, guys. You absolutely, I mean, all snap diggity you can. I'm telling you. Now, they may be too young for things like assets and liabilities or something like that. I mean, I get that. Your kids may be too young to really get that, and they may just not be able to compute, and that's fine. You know your kid better than me. I'll guarantee it, and I trust your expertise on that matter. But let me tell you a little story about my five-year-old. My five-year-old's name is Grant, and Grant loves, absolutely loves Halo 4. Just absolutely loves that game. So before you got, I always get the stinking emails from the moms. They're just like, oh, Trey, I can't believe you let your kid play Halo 4 when they're that age. You know what? That's a bunch of load of crap. I've got tons of research articles that talk about how the ineffectiveness of comparing the violence rate in kids with video games. Mm-mm, no, not whenever you factor in all the other extraneous data points into that. It nullifies the information. It's not effective, guys. It's not an effective way to judge that. So anyway, that's a load of junk to me. I don't buy into it. I never have, and I've got the research to back it up. However, my son loves to play Halo, and he gets in there and he plays, and just recently he found that there is a new map pack. Now, what a map pack is, for any of those that might not be familiar, is that whenever you buy a game, it often comes with a set of maps, and then you can all play on them. And in Grant's case, he gets online with other people, and he plays against them online. And the kid is really actually getting very good. But he plays with them, and so then they load a new map, and they play that map, and they load a new map, and they play that map. Well, you eventually can run out of the maps. And then as they go, typically somebody will wind up creating more maps that they can share out and then download. And enjoy the novelty of new maps. And so it's a very big thing. It's a lot of fun for people. And so my son has seen this. And he now desperately wants to get a hold of one of these map packs. And he asked if we could buy it. I said, well, we'll take a look. And it was so many Xbox points or Microsoft points. And it was going to wind up being about $25 for him to be able to afford this new map pack. Well, there's some amounts that we're willing to do for him. But there's just some that are too dadgummed expensive for us. So what we've done is we started thinking to ourselves, let's create some kind of way that we can help him build it up. So I'm gonna give full credit to my wife. It was completely her idea, and my wife kind of came up with just a sweet little money monitor to kind of help him understand some moolah. And so if you guys are at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, if you look at the show note picture today, what you're looking at is actually a picture of the MatPack monitor that my wife created for my son. If you're over at Facebook, you should be able to see a small snapshot of that as well. If you're not in either one of those, I highly recommend that you jump on and go look at that over at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. But what we've done is that we've listed 1 to 25 as numbers, and the map pack costs about $25 total. So what we've done is my wife started at 25, and every time he earns money, we knock one of the X's off. So we're at $25 listed on here that he needs. And so my son did like an extra job that wasn't his, you know, like his clothes or whatever, and he helped out my wife with something. And we earn like $3 from it, right? So then we put an X through 25, 24, and 23. And it shows how much money he's got left now, which is $22, right? And then maybe he earns a couple more, and 22, 21, and now he's got $20 left. And maybe he earns $3.50. And so he goes 21, 19, 18, and then and we put X's through this. So each X signifies 50 cents. And so if you only get a half of an X, that just means that there's 50 cents added onto that, right? And so we've done it like this to help my son visualize. And we put it on a wall right there, easy for him to see. And you can see we did like the first $7, I think, or $6 by ourselves. And then we let him take over. And when he earned those next $2.50, we actually let him put his X's down. And he's going to do the rest of them from this point on. But he's going to do that all the way until he gets that one X'd out. And then once he gets that one X'd out, he now has the money for the map pack. So what is this teaching our son, our five-year-old son? Mind you, he is 5 years old, guys, not 15. And what are we teaching him? Number one, we're teaching our son delayed gratification. If you have not begun to teach your child the ability to put off their pleasure until a later date, it's time to start now. That is one of the things that will help your kid avoid pseudo-sociopathic tendencies better than anything. If we can teach them that sometimes we've got to wait for those things that we want. And then in reality, sometimes those things that we wait for, when we wait for them, they become better. Of course, my son could take his, let's see, what, his $8.50 right now and go buy a cool toy at Walmart. He'd love it. But would he love it as much as this new map pack? No, I know for a fact he would not. So we're teaching our kids to do delayed gratification. As you see, this is a valuable thing in multiple venues. That ability to put off until later. Because by saving and putting off to later, it actually makes it more intense. It makes it better. Number two, we're teaching our son the value of good work. I'm telling you, I have watched our son, because we've talked a lot about our son, about how he gets more money by the better work that he does. So if we ask him to pick up clothes that aren't his around the house, right? Because first off, when we say that we do this, like these jobs that we give him, we never give him jobs that are his responsibility. So like him putting his clothes in the clothes hamper when he gets done is his responsibility for keeping the house straight with us, because that's something that's important to us. So we do not give him money for just picking up after himself. We do not give him money for putting his, you know, plate in the sink. We may give him pebbles for that, but we don't give money. The money is reserved only for the things that are those extra jobs that are not necessarily his quote-unquote responsibility. So we've been teaching our son the power of good work. And so whenever he does better work, so if we ask him to pick up mommy and daddy's clothes and he picks them up and he forgets a few, he gets paid. He will pay him for that. But if he goes and we see him making a double or a triple check and he picks up everything and makes sure that there's nothing left over, which he frequently does, we pay him more for that. Because we believe in reinforcing for good work. Number three, what are we teaching with all of this? The beneficence of thoughtfulness. We want our son to know the benefits of being thoughtful. Just today, we were sitting outside, and we'd been jumping around the trampoline, and we laid down, because here in Texas, it's just ridiculously scorching hot, high 90s, and it's sweltering from all the rain that we've had, so it's very humid and very hot. It's a very, very, very potent combination. So we were just sitting on the trampoline today under some shade from a tree, and my son was like, "I'm going to get some water. Y'all want some water?" And I think my daughter said, "Yeah, sure." And the little dude went all the way inside. Our trampoline is the farthest away from our back door that it can be. And he went all the way across there, and he brought us out four waters with straws and ice. So I paid him for that. Not just for the work, but for the fact that he wasn't even looking for the money. He just went to go do it because he was being thoughtful. And I paid him money for that. Why am I doing that? It's not because I want him to just start doing things solely for that sake. I want him to start getting into a habit of being thoughtful. Because eventually I won't have to pay him for these things. He's just going to do them because it's a habit. But we're teaching him the benefits of thoughtfulness. Number four, we're teaching him long-term savings. The mentality that it's better to skip those little tiny weeny things, know what we want, and start putting money away for it. Kind of that Saturday Night Live skit. If you don't have the money, don't buy it. What's this revolutionary new financial technique you're talking about? If you don't have the money, don't buy it. We're teaching our son that, not because we're focusing on the fact that he doesn't have the money, but because we're focusing on the fact that we're teaching him how to get there with it. So again, what are we teaching real quick? Let's go through them all. Delayed gratification, the power of good work, the benefits of thoughtfulness, and long-term savings, and how important these things are. And let me tell you, he has done wonderfully with it. The little guy jumps on tasks. Hey, who wants to help me out? Me. Okay, we need this and this and this done. Yes, sir. And just takes off. Comes back, he's done. All right, done. Son, that's $2 right there. Good work. He is the first to volunteer when we say, "Hey, who wants to help us out around the house?" Me. He jumps up, and he wants to go first because in his mind, he sees that dadgummed map pack getting downloaded. He works faster. While my other two may just kind of be like, oh, humity dumb. They're working. They're working hard, too. He will just zoom past him and snag every piece of clothing or every piece of trash on the ground that they were headed towards. He's not doing it as a competition. He's doing it because he is trying his best to earn that extra money. He's become more efficient. There are a few things. There was a while there where we would ask him to pick up clothes. I don't know what that dude was looking at. I mean, he must have been looking at an alternate freaking reality because he was missing stuff all over the place. And since we've started this, he has become more efficient. He hardly ever misses things because he wants to do a good job. And lastly, he has become so highly, highly motivated. He's motivated to work. He's motivated to try. He has been so motivated to get things done, to find work. And I've been so proud of him. Because you see, I want my son to grow up knowing how to handle the Benjamins, baby. I want my son to know what to do with money and how to use it. I want my son to build up assets out the butt. And then have all the money that he wants to on liabilities. I want my son to enjoy his money, not be stressing out about it, or not be waiting for a handout from Dad or Uncle Sam. I want him to go out and create the money that's there. And I think it's going to begin right here. It's going to start right here with a Halo 4 map pack that he is so fired up about. Well, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. I genuinely do hope that you have a good week. And if nothing else, we'll see you guys this Friday on the Real Family Guys Podcast right here at the Family Podcast Network, where Jeff and I are going to sit down and talk a little bit about relevant stuff to you guys. We're going to talk about some of the BuzzFeed, what's been going on, what's been popular in parenting. We've got a doozy for this Friday that's going to be good. We're going to talk about some good parents. We're going to talk about some parents that ain't really getting it quite right. Are you in which one of those categories? Come find out this Friday, guys. Have a good one.